It has grown into a tree. It's no longer a mustard seed.
Christianity in China is like a tree. For centuries, it germinated as a seed in China's soil. Today, it has grown into something bigger. As part of this growth, many Chinese Christians have begun to think more deeply and systematically about the city around them. They long to see God's kingdom provides shelter for the most vulnerable. Looking like the tree, Mark's gospel describes as having, quote, large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade, end quote. The branches of this Chinese tree are reaching outward. In 2008, they were present with victims of the Sichuan earthquake. Today, Chinese believers are walking with sex workers and red light districts, with orphaned and left behind children, and with the sick and dying. Although they themselves are marginalized, these house church Christians follow in the footsteps of their Savior, bringing his love and presence to the downtrodden. But why are these Christians practicing mercy, particularly when they themselves are often powerless? Why prioritize caring for the sick and rejected when you yourselves could be persecuted?
This is the House Church in China. This podcast is the true story of how the mustard seed of God's kingdom is being planted in China. But it's no longer a mustard seed. Chinese house churches are, slowly, growing into a tree. The kingdom's roots are reaching down into the hidden places of society, blessing the desolate, despised, and discarded in local communities.
Your joy and songs of praise. Rest, let me rest. Cover me with love and show your ways.
Liu Jianming is the Sichuan pastor who worked with other Christians to care for earthquake victims in Wenchuan. He thinks Christianity in China is entering a new stage.
Those who have eyes to see, let them see. It might be hidden from some, but it's like the tree in the middle of the road that has grown massive. Cutting it down would destroy the entire foundation, the road itself. It is impossible.
Christianity in China is no longer an immature seedling, but has matured into a tree. It is starting to bear fruit in a way that's different from what came before. Like a tree, Chinese believers are trying to put down roots in Chinese society. They want to become so integral that if they become uprooted, the cultural soil itself would not be the same. But how can the marginalized church be integral to Chinese society?
Sally is a Christian leader who's familiar with several different nonprofits in her hometown in northeast China. One of the problems she sees with Chinese society is that it's deeply materialistic and also highly competitive. She says many parents teach children that success comes from working hard, studying, landing a good job, and making money. If you can't meet these metrics, well, you fail. One's worth is often based on one's accomplishments. People who can't contribute or care for themselves, such as the handicapped, are not valued.
Before I was a Christian, I judged the worth of a person by what he could do. His deeds determined his worth.
If you believe that, then sitting for hours by the side of a dying woman doesn't make any sense. Spending time with abandoned children or sex workers doesn't make sense. There is no reason to be present with people like this. It's easier to just sweep them under the rug.
But the reality is, many people in China are struggling. In recent years, the economic downturn has only added to the strain. One Chinese pastor says charity is not mainstream in Chinese culture. In today's difficult social environment, many people have been abandoned. This is where Christians can stand apart from Chinese society and in turn become essential roots in Chinese soil.
We do not understand the dignity of a human. But when you become a Christian, the Bible tells us a totally different story. It tells us that God loves humans, and He even gave His one and only Son to save us. That is so unbelievable.
In a society focused on social advancement and accruing power, the Christian view of inherent human worth is startling. Seeking out those society prefers to push aside is particularly radical.
When you become a Christian, it's not about your deeds. It's about God's salvation and His mercy, His grace. This totally changed our attitude to humanity. We have received mercy from the Lord, so we can have mercy for the people God still loves.
Despite this, a lot of newer, urban, reform house churches in China don't actively prioritize mercy ministry. The causes behind this are complex and include persecution, government restrictions, and the depersonalized nature of city life. But Pastor David, a house church pastor in China, believes these are not the only reasons.
One bottleneck I see in the Chinese house church today is the overwhelming focus on saving souls. While that's certainly important, we tend to over-spiritualize things. We think we preach the gospel, it's God's work, and people get saved. We don't spend time caring for the many marginalized and vulnerable groups in society facing injustice and inequality. In this state, it's easy to lose sight of what it means to live like Christ, to truly love our neighbors.
David isn't speaking to wealthy, well-resourced churches. He's addressing unregistered house churches, which these days usually have fewer than 100 or even 50 people. Most meet in small, rented spaces, and many face constant threat of arrest or harassment. For these Christians, any charity work would be an illegal action. This leaves them facing a tough choice. It would be understandable if, given the circumstances, they focused only on preaching the gospel. But several Chinese pastors push back against this mentality. Pastor Sean, who works with hospital patients, says it's important to both tell and show Jesus' mercy.
The gospel is not just about saving souls. It's about renewal. It can also renew society.
Mercy ministry is not just a way to pave the path for a gospel presentation. Here's Pastor David again.
It's easy to see how we often treat mercy ministry as mere groundwork for evangelism, as if sharing the gospel is the ultimate goal. I think this is a mistake. Why? Because when we live out mercy in this world, we're living out the life of Jesus Christ, and that in itself is important.
Chinese Christians live in this tension, working to love people holistically in both body and spirit. Andrew and Flora, who served destitute and left behind children in different provinces across China, long for the kids and families they work with to know Jesus. But neither ministry shares their faith immediately. Zion, the Red Light ministry, tends to quickly share the gospel, but they follow this up with caring for the physical and emotional needs of the women in these districts. Chinese house churches traditionally emphasize explicit declaration of the salvation message, but many say words alone are insufficient. And in a society that's deeply materialistic, Christians focus on caring for the holistic person as profound.
When we live out mercy in this world, were living out the life of Jesus Christ.
These Chinese Christians say following Jesus doesn't only change what you believe about salvation in the next world. It changes how you live in this one.
The gospel impacts everything, how we face every aspect of life, living in Christ. When a church has sound theology, it naturally motivates its members to live out their faith and cultivate gospel-centered spirituality.
James 1:27 says, "Pure and undefiled religion consists of visiting orphans and widows in their affliction." Pastor Joshua, who ministers to terminally ill hospital patients, calls this the ministry of presence. This ministry of presence is an echo of the incarnation of Christ himself. It's not easy to remain a faithful presence, especially in a society hostile to faith. Why do these Chinese Christians go to such great lengths to serve their neighbors when some of their neighbors persecute them?
This is what Jesus did. Every time Jesus encountered the blind or the lame, his disciples tried to send them away. But Jesus always brought these people to the center, healed them, restored their dignity, and included them in worship. I think this is where his mercy shines brightest, the most beautiful and radiant aspect of his life.
Christians love others because God became human. Jesus entered into human earthly suffering. Ultimately, he suffered and died alongside and for those who killed him. When the church follows in Christ's footsteps, she must do likewise. She must try to practice God's presence alongside her neighbors and share the good news through both word and deed.
These three things are equally important: constantly preaching the gospel, and constantly showing mercy. When all three are happening, when Christians prioritize them, then the church is healthy, individual Christians are healthy, and the Christian community is healthy. This in turn blesses the city and others, and the gospel is spread naturally.
Mercy ministry is the outgrowth of the Chinese house church's struggle with what it means to establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In case after case, house churches are finding that loving their neighbors blesses the hurting and changes them.
Outsiders, other people, they don't just see a group constantly preaching or teaching. They see a life that's enviable, a life worth living.
God's kingdom starts small. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 13:32 that his kingdom is a mustard seed, though it is the smallest of all seeds. Yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. The kingdom of heaven starts like Andrew, who has spent hours visiting with children and their families. It starts with Zheng Haidi, the retired school teacher who now spends her free time hanging out with prostitutes. It starts with Sean, whose church members walk each week into hospitals full of the dying. It's not easy or glamorous, but when believers follow Christ in word and deed, growth is inevitable. These Chinese Christians long to be a part of the budding tree God is growing. As Liu Jianming reminded us after the Wenchuan earthquake,
"The tree has sprouted. There's no going back. It is impossible."
Answer when I call, oh God, let me see your face.
The House Church in China podcast is a production of China Partnership. To hear more stories and to find out how you can support the Chinese house churches, visit housechurchinchinapodcast.com. This podcast is written by E. F. Gregory and hosted by Hannah Nation and Ryan Zhang. To protect their identities, we have changed all names and locations for Chinese citizens. Interviews have been re-recorded in English by anonymous brothers and sisters outside of China who have graciously lent us their voices. The House Church in China is edited, mixed, and mastered by Andrew LaPara. Our music comes from Daniel Snook. Additional music provided by IB Audio. All scripture quotations this week are taken from the ESV Bible. And please, as you finish listening to this episode, take a moment to pray for the church in China.